Hello and welcome to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kesmer. On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how technology is affecting our lives these days. And as I say every week, it seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact as time moves on. And tonight we're going to talk about a different subject than I think we've ever talked about on the show. We have a guest in the studio. We have Michael Sipos. Michael is a young inventor and engineering student at Raritan Valley Community College. And he's taken an interest in a particular technology, and I'll let him describe it, but it basically is a design for a water pump. But Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And in case anybody wants to look on, is there a website, or I know you've got a YouTube channel that people can look at while we're discussing this topic tonight?
Yes, I have both a website and a YouTube channel. My main YouTube channel is Blue Jersey 112. That's blue as in the color blue, and Jersey as in New Jersey 112. And that's where I put most of my videos about all the projects that I do on there. And I also have a main website on Squarespace, actually, and that is msipos.info, which is spelled msipos.info.
Great. Thanks, Michael. And so introduce this topic to our listeners and maybe give a little bit of background on how you got interested in it.
Well, it was a pretty coincidental discovery. Originally, was looking at, I like to look at new and even some more archaic inventions that are out there and different technologies. Some of them are very amazing and have been forgotten for some time. So I would go to, there's one research website that I looked at, also look at different magazines and things from some time ago.
It occurs to me that one reason you might do that is to maybe understand the thought process of inventors from years ago.
There's very famous people whose inventions weren't approved for one reason or another, like Alexander Lippisch's Delta Wing aircraft and things like that. So I like to look around these different sites and learn different things that sometimes aren't even published.
Okay.
And I found this one, actually is about a month from now. I mean, about a year ago, probably in late July, that I was on one research website or whatever, and they put up something called a hydronomap, this thing that someone dug up out of a collection of newspaper articles and even tracked down some of the patents, and they were pretty old. They're from the 1920s, very early 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine looks like a true Rube Goldberg machine, except it was fully operational and practical. Mm. And the device was actually hailed at the time as one of the greatest engineering marvels of the 20th century. And I'm thinking, well, first, what in the world is this thing? And two, how could it possibly get forgotten?
Yeah, if it was one of the greatest inventions, why'd you never hear of it, right?
Yeah, even famous physicist Sir Oliver Lodge had seen the thing. He was so astonished about it that he actually wrote a 30 or 40 page book on the hydronomat.
Wow.
And said it was one of the greatest machines ever and would prove to be a great service to mankind. And some reason or another, I think around the 1950s, eventually the company got bought out and just basically disappeared.
So before that, were they actually producing them and selling them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. There's a major press blitz, I guess you can say, back in the early 1920s. And after that, I guess they had enough fame and they got their product out there. And they could actually even had hydronomists operating in India because they found some government documents, I think from the Department of Agriculture there in India, that they're using in certain provinces for irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just after the first few years of its inception, the thing just wasn't reported much in the news. I guess it was popular enough. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a mysterious device.
So that's interesting to hear how you learned about it, and our audience is probably eagerly wanting to understand what it is. So maybe you can describe what a hydronomat is.
Well, the hydronomat is a very, very simple device. It's basically a self-powered water pump. It's a water pump that uses both air and water pressure to lift water. And the way it does this is by actually filling a closed container called an operating tank up from the bottom with water. And what will happen is when the water fills up from the bottom, it actually compresses the air on the top. And you can use that compression to run a tube out of the top of that tank to another tank that would be filled with water. And that would push the water out of it, and you could push that up to a higher level. And when the tank is completely filled, you can actually then drain the thing out. And that would create a vacuum as the water drains out. And a vacuum can be connected to the, can be run to the very same closed tank with the water pushed out of it, and it could pump water from below it into the tank. So it's a combination of pressure and suction that can be used in series to pump water. It's actually called a water staircase by some when it first came out.
Is it kind of the same principles as the way a siphon might work? Or?
Well, it does use a siphon. It doesn't necessarily have to, I don't believe, and actually wouldn't be such a bad idea for the operating tank. It would have to go onto either my website or you could even Google it, find the patent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can take a look at the device. It doesn't really need a siphon, but I think that's more of a timing component. The way the thing works is really like a piston without, it's like a cylinder or whatever, a hydraulic cylinder or piston, but without any mechanical parts, because it uses the water itself as the piston instead of actually having to have anything that's made out of steel or any other material.
Mm-hmm. And is the main difference between the hydrometer and water pumps that are generally available these days that the water pumps have mechanical parts, or is there some additional differences?
That's probably one of the biggest ones, and also one of the biggest advantages, too, is that it doesn't use very many mechanical parts. The only thing that would have to be mechanical on it would be the check valves to prevent any backflow with the tanks. And if you see some of my older videos, you'll see that I painfully found that out live on camera as one of them ruptured, and you could see bubbles gushing out of one of them, and it was just not very fun. But it would basically just need check valves or something to rectify the flow, to make sure it goes one way. And you would also need a triggering mechanism to turn off the water from the inlet valve that would go into the operating tank. Mm-hmm. Because when the water is being sucked out, you don't want water from the input to replenish the tank. Otherwise, you don't get any suction because it's compensating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is the main purpose of a water pump to get water from a point A to a point B?
Absolutely.
Or is it more often to bring it up higher than it's been, or both purposes?
I'd have to say it could be both purposes. For the most part, majority of water pumps I've seen aren't necessarily ones that you pump up to a higher level. It's usually to get it from, a more lateral thing, just from point A to point B. But the hydrometer can do that, even though it does lift water. You could use that as, you could just lift it up to a certain level and let it flow out by gravity, or you could have maybe I wouldn't say a train, but you could have the containers themselves just laid out in a sort of, linear way and pump them that way as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you were finding this and getting to understand it, what were some of the thoughts going through your mind that this might be a useful item still today?
I saw this as kind of an alternative to another self-powered device called a ram pump, except the ram pump uses shock waves to pump water up to a higher level, and it also uses moving parts, which, because of the shock waves, the thing wears out very quickly, and it's also very limited in what it can do. Probably nine-tenths of all the water that this thing takes in goes out on the ground right where the water pump is, and only about a tenth or whatever will actually get pumped upward. So it's an inefficient device, and it's, either high maintenance or it just requires a lot of mechanical parts, and it's not very fun to deal with, especially in like a developing country or something where a machine shop might not be available. This thing can be a bit of an issue to maintain.
Mm-hmm. And is the ram pump a specific purpose pump, or?
Yeah, it's mainly for, it's actually a kind of a specialty pump in some ways. Well, the hydromat works in the very same way too, but the way a ram pump works is you have water from a high level, from like a small hill or whatever, and you have that fall down into the ram pump, and the force of gravity is enough to send a wave through the thing, and the ram pump will then automatically stop after so much water goes through it. And what happens is all the pressure from the water going down the pipe will then compress, because the valve all of a sudden got closed, and then that compression wave just builds up, and instead of it going backwards, the valve will actually automatically open upward, and then it'll fling it out through the other tube, and that'll push it to a higher distance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
But that's the one device that's out there, and there's also a pulsar pump too, but they're not very efficient, unfortunately.
And what's the pulsar pump used for?
The pulsar pump was a pump that's kind of a combination of a tromp and an airlift pump, and it was invented in the 1980s by Brian White. And basically what it does, it's similar to the ram pump. Actually, all these pumps are similar, that they take the water in from a high point and then they dispense it out through a low point, and some of it gets pumped upward. But the pulsar pump basically takes water in from a high point, sucks some air down along with it, and then what happens is before the water goes out to the exit, you have a container that's submerged, and what will happen is the container will catch the air, and the air will float up from the water, will separate from the water because the bubbles will float upward, and they'll get trapped in the top of the container while the rest of the water runs out underneath the container and out to the low water mark. And that the pressurized air can actually be used to pump water upward, and that's what a pulsar pump is.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be repeated in stages like a hydronomat can.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somewhere along the way, after finding this this information, you decided that you wanted to prove that it worked, and you built at least one demonstration, I think more than one, correct?
Yes.
And how did that process go? How easy was it? How difficult was it?
Sure. That was it's a very challenging task to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the figuring out of how to get this thing to work, because you already know what the principles are. You know how this thing would work. You know that it did, in fact, work. But to take something that basically all you saw from what was on the website or whatever was all I saw was just a pattern illustration and a quick little picture from one magazine, or that was the graphic, I think back in 1922. I saw a little small photo of the thing and near a pond or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's all I had to go on for design.
Oh, interesting.
And patent description, but that's not very much to go on. So you have to basically bring this thing back into the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure out, how can I take what I have around me and somehow piece that together to make one of these things?
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have any experience with fluid handling stuff like plumbing or tubing or anything like that, it can be very challenging to do. And it's not like you have the money to go out and buy or have these devices custom made. I can't have a replica made by a machine shop or something. So.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of creativity and ingenuity had to be developed in order to make the first hydronomat.
So without going into great detail, because we've only got another 10 minutes or so, mm-hmm. what were some of the key challenges? Was there some part that you felt that you discovered along the way that you needed that finally helped bring it all together, or a couple of those types of situations?
I was using different types of fittings and tubing and things like that, and that was a nightmare because everything would leak, and I'd have to use marine caulk, and I got a lot of it on myself and also on the device, because it just gets everywhere and you can't get it off your clothing.
Mm.
And that was a big mess. So I found out that was not very easy. End up using bulkhead fittings, which is a lot easier. Use bar fittings, tubing, things like that. And
So what was the approximate cost of building the prototype?
Well, the approximate cost, trial and failure, I don't even want to think of.
Oh, okay.
But if you were to just build the thing knowing what to get and whatever, it'd probably be $150 to $250, probably.
Okay. And you said all the parts are generally available at, like, Home Depot or something like that?
Yeah, Home Depot, Lowe's, McMaster Car for some more specialized things like check valves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple device to make. That's why I was so interested in it, because you could actually build this thing out of jerry cans, probably, in a developing country or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned a few times developing countries, so this is something that you think can help in developing countries, and why do you think in particular there?
Well, I wouldn't say in particular there, because we can certainly use it for agriculture still to this very day,
mm-hmm.
but in developing countries, one of the biggest problems with the world water crisis is that people need to go far distances sometimes to get water. And also that water tends to be not very healthy or clean. So if there was a device that could help to pump and convey that water closer to a village or a household or something like that, it'd be a lot easier to service. You could have a lot more time to do other things. And also you could have a maybe a dedicated communal water filter or something like that, so the community could pitch in. And instead of just individual people having to get their own water and then haul it back or something like that, you could just have a simple water filter and then maybe boil it or something like that. And then maybe be hopefully made safe enough to drink, and it'd be a lot easier instead of having to haul it back. And then you might not even have the money or resources individually for a water filter. You could actually maybe pitch in, or someone from an NGO or something could supply one, so it can make life a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's really good.
Okay.
It can also run on thermal energy too, I believe, as well, because it's just pressure that drives the thing. So if there's a system for that, that could also make things easier too.
So besides yourself, do you know if there's anyone else looking into this in the country, in the world? Have you come across anyone else looking at the hydrogen?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest countries that I found was the Philippines.
Hmm.
Yeah, Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, India, Romania, Ukraine, surprisingly enough. Ukraine and Romania, I think, are going through some kind of war crisis. No, in Ukraine, something, I think that during the whole civil conflict there, someone closed off the canal. Some people are suffering from it. Maybe that's why.
Hmm.
But I get a lot of views from those countries. I also get views from Algeria and Egypt as well. Yeah, so it's there's quite a few people looking into this thing. And two people tried to replicate it. One was successful, but they didn't really explain it very well. They have something on it, instructables about it, how to build it. But the videos, I think the guy could do a little bit better for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also made out of paint cans, so you can't see into it, unfortunately, mm-hmm. which that's why it took me a bit longer, because I wanted to make sure that everything was see-through, so you can't just say, oh, they really stuck a water pump inside the paint can or something like that.
Yep. Before we came on the air, I had asked you, I had mentioned that there's a severe drought in California, and
yes.
This can help in that situation as well, correct?
I'm not exactly sure if that thing can, because the thing is it pumps water, so mm-hmm. if there's really no water available, there's nothing much you can do with it.
Okay.
I know in the area there's the Hoover Dam, and the engineers over the Hoover Dam are very worried about the water level plummeting to a point where the turbines will stop flowing, and the hydronomat could help boost the elevation of the water. If they build something like that mm-hmm. over at the Hoover Dam, you could definitely get this thing to pump water to a much higher level to get the higher pressure for it.
Mm-hmm.
That could be done. And I was also looking into applications for adapting this thing for solar desalination. Maybe that could help alleviate the crisis, because a lot of the water is being conveyed to Los Angeles and the other big cities and away from farmers, and that's where a lot of the strife and things are coming from as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be more of a agriculture sort of issue about water retention and things.
Okay.
And also a social and civil issue with the cities and something. So it's a big problem with many different factors.
Okay. Are there other uses that you haven't touched on yet for the hydrogenate?
Well, other than conveying water, in its original configuration, there's not too much. You could use the water in the operating tank, because since the water is in the operating tank is different from the water in the closed tank, I mean, you could pump from the same source, which it usually does. You could also use that suction and that air pressure to actually pull hydraulic fluid or some other kind of fluid that you want to convey with the working fluid. You know, so you use water to pump hydraulic fluid, or maybe use dirty water in a stream or something to pump, like, drinking water for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Or I was also looking into possibly getting the pressure to a high enough level, because you just repeat the hydronomat over and over again. You even put multiple different hydronomats together to really boost the elevation on these things, and potentially get the pressure high enough that you can maybe even pump a refrigerant or something through it in a special system, so that you could possibly generate heat and cold. And if you could create enough heat, you could also accelerate a desalination process. So you can, you know, probably put out even more distillated water as well as salt that could be used as well.
I was going to ask if it could be used for other liquids as well. And sounds like it can.
You could probably use it to power machinery if you get high enough, because that's how the original, well, not maybe not the original, but some of the earlier, I would say early part of the 19th century, they had, 1800s, that is, early part, they had machines that ran on hydraulic mechanisms. So, yeah, you could probably do that. Used to have these gravity-powered hydraulic accumulators, for sure.
Okay. And do you have specific plans regarding the hydronomat? Anything else you're going to do other than continue to let people know about it?
Oh, yeah. I have an entire page on the potential applications for it. Right now, I'm actually looking into a modification for it, so it'll run on wave power. And I'm going to... I was looking into one beach, but they said they're very congested or whatever, but I was looking into different beaches in the area to test the hydronomat so it can run on wave power. So they have a open bottom container that will work as the operating tank instead of a closed tank, and that can be used to generate the pressure and suction for pumping water.
And as far as informing people, is it just trying to get your website and YouTube channel out there to more people, or do you have other plans as well?
Yeah, I have that. I'm also reaching out to different organizations. I'm trying to get Engineers Without Borders or some other NGOs as well. I haven't got anything back just yet, but I'll be looking around for that. I'm also scheduled in October, actually, to give a presentation to NOFA-NJ, the Northeast Organic Farming Association. At their open house in October, I'll be giving a presentation about the hydromat there as well.
Very good. Have you come across anybody that found your site and said to you through an email or contacting you some way that said they were completely surprised to hear about this and were very thankful that they found it? Or?
Well, I haven't got anything back from the website yet, but the YouTube channel, I've had a lot of enthusiastic people, you know, a few enthusiastic people calling, well, not calling, but commenting.
Good.
Even had people saying that this thing could be hooked up to an electrostatic generator and create perpetual motion or something,